overcrowding, but also to look at the other conditions as set out in the original order that we're referring to healthcare services, nutritional services, and exercise in particular. So on the 22nd, it was then made a court order that the department will have to come with a plan that has to be submitted and be monitored on a monthly basis by the court that had issued out the order, and that on a monthly basis up until the 31st of May, we have to work towards bringing down the totals at Portsmouth. We then undertaken a decision that we are going to declare Portsmouth, the entire Portsmouth, as a remand detention facility, and remove all of the sentence offenders to nearby correctional facilities. And work is currently progressing. And it would be important that we provide also to the committee that commitment that we have made, but also the plan that perpetuated that we would be bringing down the numbers at Portsmouth, but generally in the country, to manageable totals. Now, the Public Service Commission chairperson had also undertaken an audit at Durban Westville, and had also done Hoshimampuro to also look at the incarceration conditions and bring out a report. Now, the situation at Durban Westville and Hoshimampuro was slightly different and better than the one at Portsmouth. So as a department, we have committed ourselves to evenly distributing our offenders in terms of our overcrowding eight-prong strategy, so that we fill up some of our facilities that are not overcrowded as Portsmouth and the facilities at our urban areas. Importantly, Johannesburg, Hoshimampuro, and Port Elizabeth, St. Albans. Chairperson, I wanted to just give you that brief, but also to indicate that during the festive period, December and January, as is normal, we have an operational VALA that we put in place. A number of incidents occurred that I think were captured in the media, where some of our facilities offenders had attempted to destabilize. We had incidents at Krugersdorp, we had incidents at Leeukop, we had incidents also at Toyando, but also in Johannesburg there was an incident. And the most serious incident was at St. Albans on the 26th of December, where offenders had attempted to take over the institution, and the retaliation by officials who had been stabbed had led to the death of three inmates. The investigation in that regard, Chairperson, is about to be completed, both the criminal investigation by the police and our investigation. The inspecting judge shall also provide to yourselves a report with regard to their findings of the situation there. Safe to say that once we are complete, we shall also indicate what plans we are putting in place. It is important to know that there are offenders that have been transferred from St. Albans, some of whom were gang leaders that were involved in the incident, and we monitor that situation. We do have the opinion that we shall have to look into the management of St. Albans, because Chairperson, this has been recurring over a period of time, that almost every year there's this sort of an initiation that takes place where offenders would attack officials, and officials in their retaliation, a number of offenders then get to be injured, and others have lost their lives. So we would like to come back to the committee with a complete report as to how we're going to address the situation of St. Albans. Chairperson, we also had a nasty incident at Virginia where a parolee who had been released but who was working nearby was caught in the act of breaking into the single quarters at Virginia, and the officials attacked this offender, and he also lost his life in that process. A criminal investigation has been concluded. Three officials were incarcerated, but then went out on bail. So the criminal case is ongoing. The departmental investigation has also been completed. and disciplinary action is being taken against those officials that it is alleged that were instrumental in that death of that offender. Chairperson, I think also what is important for me is to indicate the efforts that we have been busy undertaking during this period, meeting with the JCPS clusters region by region. We have met the cluster, JCPS cluster in the Western Cape, we have met in Gauteng. But importantly was also to meet with the directors general of the departments that are working with us closely. Public Works, Department of Health, Department of Home Affairs, the South African Police Services, and also Department of Justice, including the National Prosecuting Authority, with an intention of making them aware of our conditions of incarceration, the overcrowding levels, but also the remands that are for long periods in our facilities whose cases are not being finalized. And we were bringing their attention to those matters so that we can, as a cluster, start to look at how do we divert away from correctional facilities and also to emphasize non-custodial sentencing. The department will be submitting to the DEF committee a CAP memo that talks to what is it that we need as a department to arrest the situation. Chairperson would remember we had reported to you that a number of our experienced officials have resigned due to the uncertainties of the pension fund. And as we speak now, instead of being at 42,006, we are now at just over 38,000. And the people are still going, Chairperson, almost on a monthly basis, 100 officials are resigning or are opting out on pension or early retirement. So we have that situation. So the CAP member will talk to that. It will also talk to our facilities, Chairperson. Members of the committee who have been there would remember that we were allocated 6 PPPs, which were cancelled due to the high cost, as we have experienced at Kutama, Sintumule, and Mangaung. So we're reviving that so that we can then also increase our accommodation levels. We're also talking to our budget, which we think that our budget is too little, and we are not able to do this work effectively. We're also talking to Chairperson to the cooperation that we need to have with the South African Defense Force. There are almost 20,000 soldiers that would be laid off depending on their ages, that maybe we should tap on that and take them through a rigorous training and orientation course so that we can utilize those services. Yesterday, we were at National Treasury to make them aware of this intention of submitting the CAP memo, and also for considering differently when it comes to matters of the cluster, in particular correctional services, as we are at the end of the value chain. If you increase the South African police services, there will be more arrests, and more people will be incarcerated in our facilities. If you build more courts, more people will be sentenced, and then it means also that more people will be sent to correctional facilities. We need, as government, to move in the cluster approach, that those that are up in the stream, when there is an injection of some sort or an investment, that investment must then be seen through towards those that are at the lower end of the value chain. Indeed, Chairperson, corrections, we poised to make a real turnaround this year, and we are hopeful that with your guidance and with your support, we shall then be able to achieve what we are setting ourselves to do. Chairperson, I'm going to ask the Chief Deputy Commissioner, James Smallberger, to take us through the presentation that the committee has requested, and putting more emphasis on our parolees, probationers, those that have already served their time, but also ex-offenders. What are the efforts that we as a department are putting forward to ensure that indeed successful reintegration is not just a dream, but it is attained? Thank you, sir.
I think before we go to that second part, the report that we have given had created many calls from the public, from other political parties, who even suggested that we should call an urgent meeting. So I think we should wait with the second part and just focus on what we have said so that we are on the same page and we understand where you are trying to go. Will that be okay, honorable members, that we engage with this report and then we'll take the second part later? Honorable sir.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thanks for the report. I'm pleased to hear that we will get the report of the investigation, into, particularly into St. Albans. Can the Commissioner give us an indication about when that will be so that we can schedule it accordingly? The second thing that I'd just like to point out is that I know that the department is now subject to a court order relating to Polesmoor, and we're hearing now that Polesmoor is going to be declared a remand facility. My understanding was that Goodwood was as well. Now, the implication of that is that sentenced offenders are likely to be moved further away from the major urban areas, which has implications for things like visitation. It has implications for reintegration in due course. So if this process is rolled out also to St. Albans and Kosimampura and to Durban Westville, there are going to be some implications around how those people are going to be dealt with. I mean, I know myself, I get lots and lots of correspondence from families who say that they've been affected by the Polesmoor situation, that they now can't visit, and that that has implications for them as families. The third and final point that I want to make is that I hear what the National Commissioner is saying about being at the bottom of the value chain, or the last stop in the value chain, and I do understand that. But before, I mean, we've had a long debate in this committee over many years around building our way out of overcrowding. And before we commit money to building new facilities, I'd just like to be sure that we are certain that we have exhausted other avenues of alternative sentencing, of alternative dispute resolution mechanisms, and other matters, so that incarceration doesn't become the first and preferred option when it comes to sentencing, because as I think we all know, incarceration tends to lead to additional criminality, and really it ought to be the last stop, or the last thing that happens, not the first option. Thank you, Chair.
Any other comment on the report on Rukumaila?
No, thanks very much, Chair, and thanks, Commissioner, for the honest report. I just want, Chair, to be clarified on this approach which is carried on at Polesmoor, whether it's not going to create similar problems in other centres where the sentenced offenders are taken to. But also, my worry is, if we only react when there are court orders, then we are going to have a problem, because we don't know where the next order is going to come from. And it will then put us into a reactive mood. So I was just checking with the department whether, without maybe the issue of court orders, what are we doing to ensure that we remedy the situation countrywide. Thanks, Chair.
Yeah, thank you. And thank you to the report, Commissioner. I think whilst I was on holiday, I saw we were up and down trying to deal with all the situation that had happened. But I think, Chair, maybe as a committee, we need to get closer to this matter. When I arrived here in 2014, part of the issues that we had emphasized very strongly was this integrated justice system. Because without us having to generally engage all the sector departments that are related to the sentenced offenders and us having to have people in the cells, we need some integrated approach. And we have always emphasized, and we have not at any point received a report on how far, and a report on or a dashboard on how far is this matter in terms of the implementation, because we will sit here and think that we will have a one-size-fits-all approach in terms of this particular department, only to find that the police have a greater role to play. The Department of Justice has a role to play. The NPA has also a role to play. So that we're able to meet all of us and say, this end point of a person being in prison, what role do we play? Because that is at the center of this. Otherwise, we'll deal with the symptom, whilst we must deal with the main matter that is there. But also, we should express a view, Commissioner and Chair, a very strong view that, you know, if an offender would fight with the correctional officer, what will be the intention? Because if the offender defeats the office, which is an office of law, then it is leading us to almost a statelessness, and wherein we will not have any government. We should really send a very strong warning that when an officer approaches, anyone else must begin to listen to the officer, because he has an authority of the law. Whilst the Commissioner was investigating some of the issues that may be a wrong part on the officers themselves, but a strong warning must be sent that an offender is there to be guarded by this officer. And if an officer says no, then it should be a no. It can't be like it's business as usual. Then the offender will start beating each other as if there is no law that is guiding that particular issue. Then we're going to have a problem, because if these offenders can defeat these officials, it means they must then take over the whole. They must take over the whole facility, and if they take over the whole facility, what kind of a state or government are we going to be running? After they take over the facility, then they take over the country. Then what's going to happen? So we need to be very strict on these matters as we deal with all these court orders, but we need to be very strong in terms of the decisions that we take and the support that we must give for the officers in terms of having to discharge their duties. Because this is a difficult work for the officers. So my humble plea is that generally, let's get all these other departments that the committee is speaking about and have a joint meeting, so that everyone must report to Parliament what is their role. What is their role towards ensuring that we don't have this overcrowding the way it is? Because if you go to court on Monday, it's postponements more often. Postpone. And this food must go. They get to be remand detainees. Then it puts the work of the correctional services at strain. So we need to take that approach, I think, Chair. Thank you.
The wrong one. Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you, National Commissioner, for the presentation. Chairperson, it's true that what Honorable Maila have just said, that it appears the department is going to put much pressure on other correctional centers, such as Khoshimampur. I've just communicated with Mr. Smallberger that I went to Khoshimampur and I discovered that some of the boilers are not working. Therefore, are we not going to put much pressure on that and other centers, as Honorable Maila has alluded to? And again, I'm a bit concerned, Chairperson. It appears the Department of Public Works is not doing enough in trying to help the department, correctional services, in this regard. Because issue of provision of facilities and maintenance thereof is their responsibility. So I don't know whether a national commissioner and your group and the officials, are you not sometimes having sort of interdepartmental meetings whereby you share some of these stony issues? Because in most cases, it does put correctional services under a severe pressure. So this need to be attended to. And also the St. Albans situation, which happened during December, is really very much unfortunate. And I think the department should take precautionary measures and ensure that similar situation doesn't happen in other correctional centers. Thank you, Chairperson.
Honorable members, I think that your inputs are taking us forward, because the Department of Correctional Services alone is not responsible. We are saying that this matter is a societal matter. It's also an interdepartmental matter. Now, Honorable Self, the letters that you get, I've been getting letters and calls, and you've been saying these letters can push one into doing what some people will say is interfering in the department. And I don't think we want to run the department. But we can ignore the public, because we are public representatives. We have to deal with those matters. But I'm also attracted by your idea about alternative sentencing and dispute resolution. Just yesterday, we had a briefing on the traditional court speed. There are lots of people who commit offenses because they are drunk in the rural areas, because we are building bottle stores everywhere, and all those people who commit social ills, they are taken into the criminal justice system. So there is no way that the correctional services are going to be able to attend that. So I think what you are saying really reinforces the fact that we must speed up this question of the traditional courts bill, and then also look at this alternative sentencing problem. Secondly, Ndadimaila, you are right that we cannot act because there is a court order. We need to have a vision, a mission, and a foresight to take preventive actions. So we would, I guess maybe the second part of the department would expect them to say in future, how do we prevent these things? Acknowledging that alone they'll not be able to do that. There's a need for collaboration. And that brings one to the point that Honorable Bongo made. Because all these departments that were mentioned, Public Works, Health, Home Affairs, Justice. They are accountable to us as Parliament, and it's quite clear that they are actually letting down correctional services. So we can no longer leave it in their hands to say, find the solution. So instead of letting correctional services to call them, I think we should do what Honorable Bongo says. We ourselves convene a meeting, bring all the role players, because this challenge has now been brought to Parliament, and Parliament has got to act, because it's quite clear that there are some departments who are not doing their work. If public work is not maintaining the facilities, the boilers, how do we expect correctional services to provide the warm water? So I wanted to suggest, honorable members, that what we do, we convene this meeting that Honorable Bongo is suggesting and bring all these other departments, and then justice will tell us why it is, are there no alternative sentencing, why are other alternative resolution mechanisms not utilized. It has taken justice more than 15 years to come up with a traditional court bill. It has taken them more than 15 years to come up with a community courts bill. They keep on saying that they are piloting, and their pilots never get to anything. So I think now as Parliament, we must take the responsibility and ensure that the people that are accountable to us, they do their work. And I also want to agree with you, Honorable Bongo, that you see, officials are also entitled to their security and safety. So they cannot surrender to criminals. And as you say, if they are overcome, then it means there's no state. But you know, sometimes we have a wrong understanding of human rights. If an offender has been killed, the first reaction is we must arrest these officials, they must be put to trial. We are no longer looking at the matter fairly, because the officials also have a right to self-defense. If they are under attack, what should they do? But there's a question of you attack, you exceed the bounds of self-defense. And that's another matter that the court can deal with. But I think you are right. We also have to make a strong statement that an attack on these officials is an attack on the state itself. Because if the officials run away and surrender the institution, what's going to happen? Now, Honorable Mutapo, you made a valid point about public works, the maintenance of these facilities. So I think only the meeting with all the stakeholders can be the solution, so that from that meeting we come up with an agreement and reaffirmation of everybody's role. Then we take that report to Parliament, so that Parliament must exercise its role also overseeing government, because we can't have be sitting here and things are not working. We are looking at correctional services. They can't do this thing alone. This is a societal matter. So I hope we can move in that direction. But Commissioner, also, we have been raising in this meeting the idea of partnerships. I personally, I respect the PMFA, but I think that we could do something much more. You know, if you go out, you put a tender for a halfway house, some little NGO without even proper facilities and office comes, you give them a contract. What they want is to make money out of the situation, not really to have an impact. And we have been saying that why don't, you know, you take an organization like NICRO, which is a track record. You take an organization like NICSA. Now there's a new organization called Garabo. It's a youth development consortium which includes big business like General Motors and others. They call themselves Business Unite, and they focus on the youth. Really just have partnerships that are well-defined, and government itself, it has dilapidated buildings in all the cities, unutilized. They have farms that are unutilized. So we could come up with a national plan on rehabilitation and integration. But this small line of things, we have some little NGO, another NGO, they're religious, faith-based organizations. They are everywhere in the country. They meet every Sunday or Saturday. They curate. So if you have a partnership with them, you can be sure that that partnership is going to work. For instance, the Department of Transport have a partnership with NHTSA on road safety. And it's working, it's visible, there is an impact. So in short, honorable members, I'm just saying that Parliament, we are here to oversee government. And we cannot have a state of anarchy in our correctional centers. We can't have a situation where people want to take over institutions of government because one or the other department are not playing their role. So let's bring them together as soon as possible. The latest, towards the end of this month, or first week of March, Bonani, we need to find a date, and then we invite all the DGs and the right-hand people. We are going to discuss the whole issue, find out who is responsible for what, and then give all of them marching orders, and then we report to Parliament, and Parliament must now begin to act where action is necessary. Can we leave the matter there? Are we happy that we follow that approach? Okay. Commissioner, you are with us. We want to... Are you with us?
Yes, Chairperson, I am definitely with the committee and yourself. Maybe just to conclude this discussion, Chairperson, the report of St. Albans, I should be able to provide to you by latest next Friday, which I will definitely ensure myself that it is posted to you through email and also a hard copy, so that the committee and yourself are able to go through the findings. I'm extremely happy with the comments that the committee has made. Indeed, Chairperson, the cluster approach and the cooperation that we need to have is not forthcoming. And that is why, as a department, we have started to appoint our own managers responsible for facilities per region, and we'll put a team that would look at our facilities, especially with regard to maintenance. Chairperson, I think we also as a department might have not applied our minds properly for some time. And all of those that things that we didn't do are catching up with us. Firstly, Chairperson, we have been not filling our vacancies as we are supposed to. And as a result of that, we had surpluses on compensation of employees, which budget we utilize for other projects like your nutrition and healthcare services. Chairperson, we did not maintain our buildings ourselves, and we are resuscitating that approach to say, let offenders and officials maintain these buildings, and where we are able to also build more facilities ourselves or extend facilities that are existing, because in the past we used to do that. We are also saying, Chairperson, maybe in our management function, we failed ourselves, because when the management of our waiting trial detainee project was handed to Correctional Services in 2006, it had serious financial implications, which we as a department were not able to bring back to cabinet to say, you are giving us remand detainees, that we need accommodation, we need more staff, we need more budget, because it is eventually going to cause that your healthcare budget, your nutrition budget is going to skyrocket. So, Chairperson, much as we would say that other departments have failed us, I think we as well in Correctional Services, we were not vigilant enough to have looked at the decisions that have been taken, what impact they are going to have in the eventual correctional system in the Republic of the country. Right now, Chairperson, we're feeling the pain more at our metros, urban facilities. And as we take the decision to evenly distribute offenders, we will not be taking offenders to very far-flung places, but we'll take them to places that are nearby, that are not overcrowded. Because, Chairperson, if you look at our situation, right now we're at 162,000. Now, in terms of overcrowding, that is just around 137%. In other words, we have 37% more. So the even distribution of our offenders is something that we need to take seriously, myself and the CDC next to me here, so that we ensure that we fill all of these other facilities to their maximum, and that we don't have the overcrowding. Because indeed, Chairperson, I want to assure the committee that I have been to Baltimore myself. The conditions of incarceration there are not what we should be having in the Republic of South Africa. There is severe overcrowding. Chairperson, to an extent that the officials are not able to provide the requisite treatment and exercise to offenders as is contained in our own act. So we are not in compliance to our own act, and therefore, as the management of DCS, indeed we must come on board and do the things that we are supposed to do, but also cause that the interaction with other departments is taken to a higher level. I fully agree with the committee that we need an integrated approach where we shall then sit with our partners and see how we can resolve these issues, because they are not impossible to resolve. I think we can resolve them. Chairperson, indeed, the public, we can never disassociate ourselves from. Most of the concerns that the public are raising with us, when we follow up, you find that there is indeed a reason for the complaint. And therefore, if we are just going to say, don't listen to members of the public, we'll end up doing things our own and messing up. In fact, in most of the cases, like for parole applications where people qualify for consideration, a number of cases are brought to my attention. And when we follow up, we realize that indeed, this person was supposed to have been considered already. There are incidents that happen in our facilities. Sometimes I get to hear from the media. Sometimes it is a member of the public that says, there is this thing that is happening in this facility. Are you aware of it? And when I inquire, it is then the case. So we appreciate everybody's concern, and whatever information we have, we will take seriously. Chairperson, we will not allow any offenders to take over our facilities. And the St. Albans example of what happened in December, it also made us aware that together with the other cluster partners, in a very short space of time, we ensured that there is stability at that institution, the South African Police Services, the Emergency Services, as well as the Defense Force, where they were. We're able to come to our assistance, and we clamped down on the unruly behavior. The challenge there, and as well as in our Western Cape correctional facilities, is gangsterism. Now, gangs, Chairperson, will always flourish where there is authority. Where there is no authority, gangs are not flourishing, because their purpose and aim is to undermine authority. There is authority, they want to undermine it. Now, we need, as the authority, to ensure that that does not happen. And that is why we need to make sure that we are forceful, but we are also within the pecs of the law, because we can't be also lawbreakers like those that are behind bars. We have to uphold the rule of law in our facilities, and therefore, if there is any action, we need to look at what is then the our reaction to that action. How do we react to it, and how do we then cause that the situation becomes normal? Indeed, Chairperson, we will ensure that. But we are taking serious note of the concern by the committee that we seem to be reactive, and then we need to then maybe look at how do we prevent such situations from occurring. Even though we have put measures in place, I think our measures are not good enough, and they need to be reviewed so that we don't have the situation again, because it is an embarrassment to ourselves but also to the government that this thing should happen in a correctional facility where there is supposed to be security and in order. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. I think honorable members will ask the committee secretary to work with your office, the honorable commissioner, to plan for the cluster meeting, and then we'll request all political parties, if you have ideas on what should come into the program of that day, to submit your proposals to the committee secretary, so that we really make this a participatory process and make sure that all good ideas are accommodated. Because as we say, this is a societal matter. All of us must join hands and deal with it. Honorable Bongo.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, I think I want to further suggest that maybe as a committee, we may have to go and do oversight in this correctional facility. Maybe if the secretary can find a way through with the commission, we have to visit there and just check for ourselves exactly what must we report back to Parliament about that situation.
Maybe even also finalize the date for the meeting, and then there will be a report to Parliament. Commissioner, thank you very much for being open and also not, you know, passing the buck and blaming other people, but admit where the shortcomings are on your side, and we hope all others will do the same. Because we can't play hide and seek in a matter like this. And thank you very much. I think we can move to the next session. Ndate Smallberger.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, Chairperson and honorable members. Chairperson, as the topic of the day is rehabilitation and integration of parolees and ex-offenders, committee members will see on the board that we have a little bit widen and broaden the initial request to also include rehabilitation of inmates or offenders, because rehabilitation starts inside and not only when they are on parole. Chairperson, with the indulgence of the committee, I will be very brief in terms of the first about 30 slides, so that we can spend more time on the issues of parole, as well as ex-offenders and halfway houses. If that is fine, Chairperson, I will continue as such. Chairperson, in terms of the presentation, it will be in two phases. The one will be from those who are inside, and then there will be a specific focus on those under community corrections. Chairperson, in terms of inside, I will be very brief. As I was saying, I will just touch on the purpose of a correctional system, speak a little bit on rehabilitation, and then a focus also on need-based sentence planning, correctional programs that we are presenting, social work services, spiritual care, psychological services, formal education, skills development, production workshops in agriculture, as well as on sport, recreation, arts and culture. And then, Chair, we will also focus on what you have said, and that is on partnerships and NGOs and MOUs with NGOs and other departments that we do have. Chairperson, the purpose, I think I already covered it. I said there's two focus on the presentation. Chairperson, the mandates, I think it's common cause. I'm just going to mention one international one is the standard minimum rules, which is currently the renamed as the Mandela rules. And then in terms of the mandates in South Africa, Chairperson, is the Constitution, Correctional Services Act, Criminal Procedure Act, and also the white paper, to mention a few. Chairperson, on definitions, there's just two words that we want to highlight. It's the word inmate, which means in terms of rehabilitation, whether you are sentenced, unsentenced, or you are a parolee, it's meaning the same. A development, Chairperson, it's just to make sure that we understand it by saying it's the means the provisioning of services and programs aimed in the developing and enhancing the competence and skills of those who are receiving it to make sure that they can be reintegrated in society as law-abiding citizens. Chairperson, the purpose of a correctional system, I think there's two important ones. Is in the Correctional Services Act is enforcing the sentences, detain them in safe custody, and then human dignity. I think during the previous discussion it was also highlighted that all what we need to do need to be within the normal human dignity principles. And also, Chairperson, those who are in the community corrections, we have that responsibility. Chairperson, in terms of rehabilitation, I think also in the comments of the National Commissioner, rehabilitation is not only for correctional services, but also the role of the family and communities are playing an integral role in terms of changing the attitude of offenders. Chairperson, what we are doing in rehabilitation is basically to prepare offenders for a swift social reintegration, and that we also have communities to assist to receive this parolees, and eventually to make sure that ex-offenders are having jobs and they can slot in into the society and community. Chairperson, what we also have in our white paper and in our policy is to have need-based sentence planning, where we have correctional sentence plans for offenders, where we are analyzing the offenders to see what are the needs in terms of correcting offending behavior, development, care, as well as security programs that are needed. And we use the correctional sentence plans as the basis for the programs and care what the offender need to undergo whilst incarcerated. Chairperson, and then security classification for rehabilitation is just to say that we have a security classification where we have offenders, for example, maximum, medium, and minimum classification, and also depending on their classification make some of the programs more possible than others. Chairperson, in terms of correctional programs, I think I'll just skip and go to the next slide, Andronika, is to say that currently we have 13 correctional programs, and we mentioned them, and I will just very briefly touch on them. Chairperson, the first correctional program that we do have is what we call New Beginnings. It's really when we admit offenders, just to make them aware of themselves as well as what will be expected from them. Chairperson, the next one is what we call anger management, anger in, anger out. It's also more awareness and to make offenders aware of what is wrong and what is right, and also to unlearn the negative behaviors. The next one, Chairperson, is Crossroads. This one is basically equipping offenders with the necessary knowledge and skills to prepare them to be law-abiding citizens when they are released. Chairperson, the next one is restorative justice orientation. It's not the program itself. It's just the orientation to make them aware and prepare them, Chair, for a more intense program that will be provided to them at the stage, and also to prepare them for victim-offender dialogue, victim-offender mediation, just that awareness early in the sentences. Chairperson, the next one is what we call preparatory program for sexual offenders. Chairperson, this is more also just more awareness before offenders are receiving professional courses from social workers and other professionals. Chairperson, the same with the next one, stop start or the substance abuse, is also to give insight to them on the negative behaviors. Chairperson, the seventh program is the one what we call behavior modification program on gangsterism. Chairperson, the main objective of this is also to raise awareness and make offenders aware of the negative consequences that there will be when they are joining gangs. Chair, the eighth and the ninth one is economic crimes. The one will focus on fraud, which is more syndicate basis, and then the one on theft is more this stealing in supermarkets, Chairperson, because there's a different level that we are presenting this courses, because those syndicates are more sophisticated than the other crimes. Chairperson, then the tenth one is murder-related offences, what we call changing lanes, is more focusing specifically on those category of who are committed murder, because we know, Chairperson, that one size is not fitting all. Chair, the next program was then developed to focus on robbery-related offences. It's more the way there's attack on the body of an individual. It's also to focus on that part. Chairperson, the 12th program is pre-release. Pre-release program is a compulsory program for all offenders serving longer than 24 months. And you'll see in the developments later, Chair, we are looking also at programs for those who are doing shorter term and not so long with us. Chairperson, the latest addition is a program for female offenders. We also realize, Chair, that females have specific needs, and this program empowers women in terms of life skills, emotional health, well-being, and also learning from their mistakes, and also providing other skills to cope with their situation. Chairperson, in terms of this program, just to mention that we also realize that we have youth offenders that, you know, are not on the same level, and there are four of this program's, Chairperson, that we are presenting, where we are using animation as well as sound effects to make sure that there's more attention, and this yielding very positive results from the youth, Chairperson, because you can't just stand in a setup as if it is a university, so this is positive. Chairperson, the others, I'll just briefly touch on them, although we'll come at MOUs later. Just that we have also a MOU with UNISA to assist us to evaluate the substance abuse program. There's a little bit currently, Chairperson, because it's a very scientific field that our research unit is currently engaging with UNISA to take this forward. Chairperson, in terms of the programs, we have currently pamphlets in three languages, English, Zulu and Swana, just to also as awareness. And Chairperson, the last bullet is just saying we also shortened the correctional program called pre-release, because sometimes there are people that are released quickly. You know, there's court orders that are setting sentences aside, at least just to help people then to slot in. Chairperson, the next slide is just a brief indication of sentence offenders serving more than 24 months that are undergoing the programs. Chairperson, there's up until 2012-13, we have counted the number of programs, and since 13-14, we are counting not the individual programs that are attended, but the number of programs completed by offenders, meaning if one offender needs to attend three programs, you only count the offender once and not three for the three programs. So therefore, you will see it from the difference from 77,000 back to 61, and then there's a steady increase. Chairperson, the next one is just social work services. Chairperson, also there, to mention on that slide, just that up until 14-15, we have counted the times that offenders are seeing social workers, but since 15-16, we are counting all new cases and not whether you are seeing the social worker more than once. We just count once in that financial year. Chairperson, then the programs of social work services. There's 8 programs that is therapeutic programs, and maybe I neglected to say that the correctional programs are non-therapeutic programs. So this is more professional services, and we mentioned the 8 anger management programs, sexual offenders, substance abuse, cool and fit for life. It's more for youth programs, elderly offenders program, youth resilient enhancement programs, and then Sonke family and marriage care programs, and then parenting skills programs. And Chairperson, this is more for sentence offenders, but if there are remand detainees, or social workers are also assisting with crisis intervention. Chairperson, spiritual care. The first slide, Chair, is just indication of what we have counted previously, but since 2010-11, when annual performance plans were developed, you will see there, Chair, we counted church services, group sessions, individual pastoral sessions, and then the total number of sessions. And on the next slide, Chair, you will see that individual pastoral care sessions are those that are counted in the annual performance plan. Chairperson, I think on the next slide is just indication that there's an increase over the years of this number of individual pastoral care sessions. You will see from 10-11 was 90,000, and 15-16 we are now at 134,000 of the sessions. And just given next to the offender population to see in relation what percentage of the offender population are we touching. Chairperson, psychological services. Chairperson, here I will also not be in detail. Chairperson, we know that we don't have enough psychologists, but lately we are using also community service psychologists, and that is also assisting and boosting the numbers, as we will see when we are going on the details of performance. Chairperson, the next one, slide, you will see that there was a change in the target, as the portfolio committee will recall from the presentation of the annual performance plan. Chairperson, important to note is that 13-14, you will see there was the 21,000, then 23,000, and then the next year 32, and on the first two quarters this year we are on 18,000 times 2. All indications are that we will then reaching about 36,000. That is on projections, Chairperson. Chairperson, the next slide is just to touch on formal education. Chairperson, we'll just mention 4 programs that we are presenting. Is early childhood, is the of babies and children up to 2 years that are receiving the early childhood development, and we are in collaboration with social development and also education. We will come to that one, Chair. And then, Chair, we have general education and training. The abbreviation is GET. You'll see there, Chairperson, we are doing literacy, Garagoede, AIT, it's the previous adult basic education and training. It's the new abbreviation is now net. It's only adult education training, and then grades 8 and 9. Chairperson, on the next slide is formal education. It is the FET. That is what they call now mainstream education. It's not the old education where you could write one subject. This is the more formal part, which I will elaborate a little bit later when we come to formal school, Chairperson. Chair, then the next one is administration of higher education and training. It's the HET abbreviation. It's those post-matric. That is what I was referring to, where you write one or two subjects per annum. Chairperson, then we also provide computer-based training. It's to equip offenders for the with computer skills as and when they are released to be equipped for jobs. Chairperson, the formal education on that slide is just to say that in 2009 we started with one formal school. We have currently 14 schools, Chairperson, and then it's also the how the those who wrote matric increased over the years. We started with 27, and we are currently, this year we had, the previous year we had 140. Chairperson, maybe just short here, you can't just enroll for grade 12, the formal education, you need to be grade 8 and then work through to 12. So That's why this process is slower, but you will see when we go into numbers, when you add up the other grade 11s and 10s, the numbers are a little bit bigger. Chairperson, I think the pass rate for the past year is also important because it was in line with the normal, or let me say the school children. The pass rate, Chairperson, 72%. And I think also important, Chair, to note that there are a number of our offenders that qualify to enroll at colleges and university. Chair, on this slide you will see that the numbers that are current, that were enrolled in the previous financial year or previous academic year 2016, the AET is the adult, there were 9,733. The grade 8 to 12, the new curriculum, is 1,008. And then the grade 12, the old curriculum, that is what I was referring to, the one or two subjects per annum, is 1,051. And then the post-matric is the 534, and those computer-based training, Chairperson, is 515. Chairperson, I'm going to not to touch on the MOUs here because there's a specific slide that will deal with all the MOUs if it's fine with the committee. Chairperson, the next part is the skills development. That is basically the other side of the formal education. Chairperson, also here is the technical vocation, education and training, the TVET colleges, and we are presenting their Chairperson engineering and business studies from N1 to N6, as well as the training, the skills training programs, which is more for artisans, basic occupation skills, entrepreneurs, as well as computer skills, Chairperson. Chairperson, on the slide at the end there, it's the achievements. We'll see, Chair, that from 10-11, there was a slight increase, and then it stabilized, and then 14-15 to 4,000, and then 15-16 down. Chairperson, here I also need to mention that this is also dependent on the funds that we are receiving from the Department of Higher Education, Mercitas, and there will be a slide on that, Chairperson. Chair, the skills training programs, you will see that there's also a general increase, although 10-11 there was 5,000, but it was the funds that we had that year. And last year, Chair, is 4,225. Chairperson, in terms of skills development, this is the places in correctional centers where we have accreditation from Mercita. We have 7 workshops currently, Chairperson. In the Eastern Cape, we have St. Albans, where we are doing trades of motor mechanic and welders. Free State Northern Cape, as a combined, we have Kimberley, Grootvlei, as well as Biza Makati, also known as previously known as Kroonstad. Chair, where we have skill programs for vehicle service, welding, as well as then also the manufacturing engineering and NQS level 1. In Gauteng, we have Boksburg, Chairperson, trades there is boiler making and welders. KZN, Durban Westville, qualifications there, Chairperson, is also welding and NQS level 2 to 4. Western Cape, Drakenstein, previously known as Victor Verster, Chairperson, we have there the qualifications that we are doing there is also welding, the NQF level 2 and 5, and also engineering fabrication, NQS level 2 and 3. Chairperson, I can mention that there's also developments to have more of our workshops to be accredited at Mercita, for Mercita. Chairperson, the next slide is just production workshops in agriculture. Chair, here is also to create the culture of work ethics, as well as to equip offenders with certain skills, and also as and when they are released to be self-sufficient, and also assisting the department to be self-sufficient, Chair. And in terms of the production workshops, we have at 15-16 on a daily basis 1,871 in the production workshops, and the agriculture fields, Chairperson, is 3,108. Chairperson, this is just in agriculture programs. It's not those offenders that are working on cleaning services and other on correctional centers. It's just those that are directly involved in the vegetable gardens and the orchards. Chairperson, the next one is sport, recreation, arts, culture and libraries. Chair, here we are targeting both sentence as well as waiting trials. And Chair, I think it speaks for itself. When we are going to the partnerships, I think we will deal with the individual sports and activities that they are currently doing in our centres. Chairperson, the next slide will be on partnerships and with stakeholders. That is, Chairperson, I want to highlight again, this is for those inside correctional facilities. When Community Corrections is presenting, you will see there are some of them also linked to those programs, but this is basically just partnerships for those behind bars, Chairperson. Chairperson, we have partnerships with the Department of Basic Education, Higher Education and Training. We have also partnerships with the President's Awards. We have also with Media Works, and Chairperson, later I'll give more detail on what is this partnership entails and what are we achieving with that. And then the National Application Centre, and then SECA approved, and you'll see there, Chairperson, also mention a couple of places that we have also linked with that is the Van Schaicks bookstores, as well as Shutters and Shooters and some of the others. Chair, then SchoolNet is also there for ICT, and then also partnership with University of South Africa, UNISA. Chairperson, furthermore, this partnerships continue, as the previous one was just for formal education. This partnership is for skills development. It's again Department of Higher Education and Training. We indicate there, Chairperson, it's for assistance, implementation and assessment and certificates for the TVET programs. The National Artisan Development Chair is to assist with our artisan training tests. National Skill Fund Chair, here I want to highlight that we received in October 2016 for the next 4 years an amount of 87 million, which is linked to training of 6,702 offenders with specific skills of falling within this NEFSA funds. Chairperson, and then we have also a partnership with Sector Education and Training Authorities, all the CETAs, and the second bullet, Chair, is just to say that CETA also donated in September 2016 7 million for training of 800 offenders, various accredited vocation programs in the current financial year. Chairperson, I can say these funds are the same handled as PFMA budget funds, and the same process of procurement is also applicable here. We have also partnerships, Chair, with the Department of Small Business Development. It's more to focus on entrepreneurial programs for offenders. And then, Chairperson, there's also what they call ground partners. It's a process, project which we are piloting now at Sonderwater. It's to focus on offenders' parolee community, and this started, Chair, in November, and it's a green economic project. It's to be green-friendly, Chairperson. Chairperson, the sports, recreation and arts and culture, the partnerships that we have here is with the Department of Sports and Recreation, and Chairperson, they are assisting with a number of programs, also indoor sports, and offenders are benefiting also from this relationship. Chair, the next one is we have also a partnership with the Department of Arts and Culture, and I think, Chairperson, we will recall that here we have recently also opened two art galleries where the art of the offenders are exhibited, and we are in the final process to finalize our policy so that we can also sell this policy and sell the arts that can then be plowed back to the department, as well as that the offenders can benefit from that, Chairperson. The last bullet there was a trainer program for beadwork that was for female offenders. Chairperson, the partnerships are continuing. The South African Book Development Council is to expand the libraries that we have in our facilities, and also have an arrangement to make sure that they provide and assist with some of the books that we have. And also the last bullet is just saying that There's also outreach and advocacy projects that we are doing in this regard. Jefferson, the next partnership is with the center of the book. Chair, here it's also linked, the National Library is also linked with the Department of Arts and Culture, also assisting where we are encouraging offenders, and we have certain programs where we encourage them to read, review, analyze, and we have also competitions, Jefferson, amongst correctional centers as well as management areas, and due to cost containment, we were not doing this on a regional and national level the current financial year, Chair. Chair, we have also a partnership and a relationship with Badminton South Africa, also with Table Tennis South Africa, also with the South African National Amateur Boxing Organization. We're also having this training of boxers in our centers, Chair, where they are competing amongst themselves. We have also partnerships with Athletic South Africa, where we also let offenders participate in all the different athletic items, Chairperson. Chairperson, we also have a partnership with SAFA, South African Football Association. We have also partnerships, Chairperson, with the South African Rugby Union, where they are also assisting, especially in the Western Cape and a part of the Eastern Cape, where our offended teams are not only competing inside, but also playing in leagues outside our facilities without any problems, Chairperson. Chairperson, the next slide is partnership focusing on spiritual care. Chairperson, there's a number of them. I'll highlight some of them. Chairperson, this partnerships are obviously with churches and faith-based organizations. And the first part, Chair, is we will explain a little bit also later, Chair, what we have in correctional services called quality assurance processes and how it's working. We also ask one of my colleagues just to provide the committee with some of the details and how is that happening. Chairperson, important to mention there that we have Alpha Prison Ministries, we have Prison Fellowship South Africa, and New Life Behavior Ministries, we have Kairos, we have Evangelium Explosion Edition 3, and we have also Lord Sham Ministries. Chairperson, in terms of religious bodies, I think it's also important to note that the churches and faith groupings within correctional centers with whom we have relationships and agreements is the Jewish Prison Board, is the National Muslim Prison Board, Hindu Prison Board, South African Association for Correctional Ministries, Security Service Christianity Advisory Board, African Traditional Religion, as well as the Rastafarians. That is with the religious bodies. Chairperson, and then also partnerships, except for about 60 of our own chaplains, we have also spiritual workers from different churches and faith groupings, Chairperson, that are rendering correctional spiritual care programs, and currently we have plus minus 1,794 spiritual workers that are signed to do work with us, Chair. Chairperson, and then we also established partnership with the following churches, faith groups, with Kara Development Ministries, African Traditional Religion, Rastafarians, again, Jews, Muslims, ZCC, Shembe, Israel Vision, Buddhist, Pagans, and Hindu, and they are doing, you'll see, Chairperson, we have developed spiritual care policies and guidance to make sure that that we cater for all those who are behind bars belonging to different religious groups, Chairperson. Chairperson, partnerships here, to mention that we have partnerships with the Bible Society. That is for many years. They're donating every year a number of Bibles that we are distributing and handing out to our offenders. We have also a relationship with UNISA, where offenders can do a one-year course on correctional ministry. Chairperson, also we have a working relationship with the Institute for the Healing of Memories and Counseling Workshops. This is more in the Western Cape at Goodwood as well as Portsmouth facilities. Chairperson, then we have also partnerships with community radio stations such as Radio Pulpit and Uhlumbuweni, and they are playing also important role with the families and communities, and also messages over radios for our offenders and vice versa. Chairperson, also relations with the Bible Correspondent Institutions. There's a number of them there, Chairperson. Emmanuel Press, All Nations, Bible Corps, Bible Way, Kenneth Copeland, World Hope Ministries, again Radio Pulpit, Name and Bible Institution, as well as SAD Voice and Prophecy. Chairperson, that is as far as the religious and spiritual workers partnerships. Partnerships with social work to render social work service in our facility, Chairperson. We do have the relationship with the Department of Justice. They were assisting of conducting training of 297 officials, including social workers, on the area of child justice and on the Children's Act. Department of Social Development, Chairperson, also assisting, and they have trained a number of our social workers and also assisting with trauma counseling. We have also a relationship with SANCA, Chairperson. You'll see that they have trained 44 workers based on at our youth care centers. Chairperson, in terms of quality assurance programs, this is now where people or institutions are applying, or individuals, to render services free of charge. We do have quality assurance committees, Chairperson, on management area level, regional level, as well as a national one. And what I'm going to submit here, Chair, is those that are rendering on a national level. The first organization is Right to Care, and it's providing assistance in terms of HIV and TB, Chairperson. The next one, Chairperson, is Footballers for Life, and they're also assisting strengthening TB and HIV services in our correctional facilities. Free for Life, that is programs dealing with gang management, and there's rehabilitation programs linked to that, Chairperson. The next one, Chairperson, is New Life Behavior, and the service that they're rendering is programs with the name of New Life Behavior. The next organization, Chair, is the Global Harvest Prison Network, and the service that they are doing is National 50 Days of Prayer and Fasting that they are involved in our facilities. Lodger Ministries, Chair, and the service that they are rendering. World Hope Ministries, also the spiritual care programs. Chairperson, also the organization called Babies Behind Bars, they are also assisting with education and that early childhood programs. Alpha Course Ministries, the service that they are rendering is also spiritual related, Chair. Then we have also the Prem Rawat Foundation. That is also, they focus differently, but on the inner resource such as dignity, hope, clarity, and choices, Chairperson. Chairperson, formal education, I think we have highlighted under formal education the different departments. Chair, here is just a list of exactly what is the relationship. With your indulgence, I'll not go into that detail, Chairperson, thank you. Chairperson, the basic education, we have also an agreement with them, Chairperson, to manufacture and rehabilitate school furniture, and that agreement we signed in 2013, and that is ongoing, Chairperson. The formal MOU with formal education, Chairperson, is also to assist with our formal schooling and with the youth, Chairperson. We have also link that also with the Department of Education, Chairperson. You will see that at Boksburg there was the donation of all those equipment to assist in the youth development. Chairperson, the next MOU for formal education is with the University of South Africa. It's obviously, Chairperson, with where we have long distance learning, that we have that agreement with them. The President's Award, Chairperson, is the TPA, and it's more to develop the qualities and of leadership, self-worth, and initiative self-disciplined entrepreneurs, as well as a commitment to community services that offenders also need to do, Chairperson. Chairperson, I think the MOUs with the for sport recreation, it's basically all those that we have mentioned, that we have not only partnerships but also signed MOUs, Chairperson. Chairperson, with spiritual care, you'll remember we have partnerships, but specific MOUs, Chairperson, let me highlight two or three here. We have currently draft memorandums of understanding with Heartlines, and the National Commissioner signed with Christian Revival Church on the 6th of November an agreement where they are also rendering programs and also services in our facilities. Chairperson, let me also highlight the Moral Regeneration Movement. This MOU is also in the process to be signed. We also, as a branch, already submitted it, and we're just waiting for the official signing thereof. Chairperson, for what we call personal corrections, we have also relationships with four universities, Chair. This is not directly for offenders, but that is for students who are coming, third and fourth and final year students coming to our facilities, Chair. Those who are studying criminology coming to our facilities, and we involve them as type of experiential learning. And the bursaries there is not for us, but for these learners who are coming to our facilities, Chair. Chair, NGOs, 67 blankets for Nelson Mandela Day. Chairperson, here we involved about we trained 2,000 offenders for the crotcheting of the blanket, and I think it was also in the media where this blanket was recognized and breaking the Guinness Book of World Records, and it was on the 22nd of April in Drakenstein in the Western Cape. And Chairperson, the understanding also for the offenders who are doing these programs, and it's most of them are male offenders, and they are saying, Chairperson, it's almost as if they knit their life together. So I think that is important to note, that the skills that they are gaining is assisting. Chairperson, then the next slide is we have also NGOs where we have partnerships. Van Schaik Bookstores, Chair, they are assisting with the Free State region. Last year assisted them with Afrikaans English books, physical science, as also life science. Chairperson, has also media work. You'll see that they have donated three tablets for the best performing offenders in the grade 12. Chairperson, on the next slide, with NGOs, we have also relationship here, Chair. Chairperson, is again, the Heartlines is assisting us, and the programs that they are rendering, let me just touch base on them, is Living Positive Values, Value of Life, Living Godly Values, Heart Life for Youth, Value for Money, and then Combating HIV and AIDS through Spiritual Care and Ethical Conduct. And then the Directorate Spiritual Care has also developed the following programs to assist offenders. Although we have that other programs, Chair, from Spiritual Care, they're also assisting with a part of the pre-release program, also Firm Foundation, Heartly Relations, Self-Image, and those programs is also assisting the offenders to improve, Chairperson. NGOs continuing, Chair. It's almost a duplication, but it's different, the partnerships that I touched base before, Chair. Again, here is New Life Behavior, Alpha South Africa, Kairos, and then Evangelism Explosion. You'll see they're doing Christian teachings, Hope Ministries. They are assisting with Restorative Justice Program, Chair, and the Uruguay Halls is also Christian. Chair, continuing with the Buddhist Temple of Bronkhorstspruit, that are also rendering services. Lodsha is also assisting with pre-release and integration programs. Present Fellowship South Africa. Chairperson is also assisting with restorative justice programs. Radio ministries, I think we've referred to Radio Pulpit and Mhlombo Weni. Chairperson, then we have also correspondence courses, and there's a long list of them, Chairperson. And then ZCC is also providing programs to offenders, Hindu Prison Board, also programs to Hindu inmates. Chairperson, maybe I must say that the different religions are basically doing services to their members and not to all. So we also observe that. Chairperson, and then we have also a partnership with the National Interfaith Council of South Africa, NICSA, and this partnership is also assisting reintegration as well as reintegration of offenders. And I think Community Corrections will also touch base further. Chairperson, we have also relations with Africa Traditional Religion, also for them to visit and provide programs to offenders in that religion. Same with the Jewish Board, Chairperson, also doing services to their offenders, and then the South African Council for Churches, we have also this relationship. Chairperson, again, the Safety and Security Christian Advisory Board. Chairperson, I think we have touched base also on the policies that we have amended to make sure that we also include their inputs. Rastafarian Council, also involved them in our policies, and then correctional programs, Chairperson, they also assisting with the correctional programs. Chairperson, I tried to be very high level, not going into detail. I'll give now to my colleague to do the community corrections. Thank you, Chairperson.
Go to community correction. Can we just deal with what has been presented and see, but how do we take this forward if necessary? Honorable members, any comments, contributions on this report?
I suggest that we take everything so that we, whatever contribution you make, it covers everything.
Okay, are we happy with that? Can we have the community corrections?
Thank you, Chairperson. My name is Vedisam Vandaba. I will be presenting a community correction. Chairperson, my presentation will focus on the mandates. I'll skip because my colleague has already spoken about them. I'll touch on the definitions. I'll talk about the caseload of community corrections. I'll talk about the programs and the partnerships, the halfway houses, the support and service points, the community profiling, restorative justice, and the challenges that our parolees and probationers and ex-offenders are experiencing upon release. Chairperson, perhaps in terms of the mandate, what I can highlight is that If you look at our policy, the social reintegration policy, it has been a policy that was reviewed. We've done the consultation in 2016, and our policy now, when we were reviewing that policy, Chairperson, we also incorporated the advices and the inputs that we received from the committee, and it's en route for approval. And Chairperson, also in terms of our halfway house policy, if you can look at that, it's a policy that was approved in 2013. We did receive our marching orders from our national commissioner that as we are reviewing that policy, we also need to incorporate the suggestions and the inputs of the committee. Community corrections, we are our clientele. We are looking after the probationers. Probationers, those persons that are serving sentence of correctional supervision and were sentenced by the court of law to correctional supervision and has been also placed by correctional supervision by the parole board and the national commissioner and other delegated authorities. Parolees are persons that have been placed outside in the correctional centers before the expiry of their sentence to serve the remainder of their sentences within community corrections. And we're also looking after the awaiting trial person. And Chairperson, if you look at our statistics in terms of the caseload, currently we have a total number of 70,928 persons within our community corrections. That 70,928 is made up of parolees that are 53,449. We see that there's an increase in the placement of parolees outside. Correctional supervision in terms of section 27618 and those that are sentenced directly from court to correctional supervision, we see there that we've got 6,978. And this is one area that we thought, from the input of the chair, that these are alternative sentences or sections of the Criminal Procedure Act that can be utilized effectively and more by our courts. We've got section 2761I, 2768-3, section 287, and 287-4A and 4B and section 297 of the Criminal Procedure Act. Chairperson, what happens is that when a person is referred to us as community corrections from inside as an offender who is considered to be ready for parole, we go out as community corrections and do the address confirmation to ensure that this person is a person that will be able to have support within their communities. That is where our work begins. We start and we visit the families to inform the family that a particular person is your loved one is about to be released, and this is what happens when a person is released. And upon the release of that person, we admit the person within the community corrections section, and we developed a reintegration plan. And within the development of the reintegration plan, Chairperson, we further explain the conditions of the person, that these are the does and the don'ts in terms of the conditions set by the delegated authority. But also, Chairperson, what we do, we also visit the family and the caregivers and also explain those conditions so that the person that is going to be staying with the parolee or the probationer needs to understand that this is the support that they need to provide to this particular person. And we further, Chairperson, on a quarterly basis, we hold sessions with the families, the caregivers, parolees and probationers to check whether what are the challenges that they are experiencing, both the families, the caregivers, and the offender and the parolees and probationers, and also to see whether where can we provide assistance. I must say that, Chairperson, in those sessions, we always enjoy the support of our communities and the partners that we have in our communities. In terms of the programs, Chairperson, in our offices of community corrections, we do have social workers that are providing programs as well as our spiritual care pastors that are providing programs. And you've seen my colleague has presented the programs that are provided by the social workers and spiritual care. So those programs, again, they are provided at community corrections. And Chairperson, also as community corrections, we do have partnerships with the stakeholders. And the process of getting into partnership with the stakeholders, they follow the process of quality assurance, where my colleague next to me will explain further the process of quality assurance. We have NPOs, we have FBOs, CBOs, and government departments. We also have ex-offenders as well, a chairperson. And also we have partnerships with the institutions of higher learning, where they utilize the students to conduct profiling within our community. Chairperson, in the next slide we have a list. Continuing from my colleague, what he has presented, we have a long list of the NPOs that we have signed NPOs that we have signed MOUs with, and to train and employ probationers, parolees, as well as ex-offenders. In the next slide, also we have partnerships with the list of the service providers, the NPOs that are in that. And Chairperson, as I've already indicated, that we also have partnership with the institutions of higher learning. What are the programs that are rendered by these stakeholders, Chairperson? There is a variety of programs rendered by these NPOs, NGOs, CBOs, FBOs, as well as government departments. They are skilling offenders and probationers on construction, building, plumbing, welding, and carpentry. They also assist them in terms of writing their CVs and also train them on how to conduct themselves when they are invited for interviews, because some of them, they've been in prison for quite some time, so they really are not in touch with the development of the industries outside. Personal empowerment, life skills, and how to conduct themselves outside, entrepreneurial skills, self firefighting. And in the fell firefighting, Chairperson, I must say that there is quite a number of our parolees that are participating in the firefighting, and we really see the benefit for them on that. Beauty and hair training, computer literacy. We're also having organic garden for gardens for patients, especially in around our clinics, Chairperson. And also working closer with the NPOs that are dealing with HIV programs. We are also assisting in renovating houses, schools, churches around our communities. We provide labor there. We also, the NPOs are providing planting of trees, and we are cleaning parks. We do also bakeries, confectionaries. We're also training them, and they're training them on the web development and ICT-related programs and services. Chairperson, in terms of the halfway house, I need to say that our national commissioner is of the view that your input is also going to assist us, because we realize that as the NPOs that are coming to us, there is a bit of lack of understanding of the halfway house. Therefore, we have established a task team where we are going to review the policy of halfway houses, and also we're calling upon the NPOs, the FBOs, and other government departments, as you have suggested, Chairperson, that we need to deliberate and agree exactly how do we take this concept of halfway houses forward. I can confirm that, Chairperson, we have we are given that instruction by the National Commissioner, and that is the work that we'll be doing. But currently, Chairperson, we have managed to enter into SLAs with eight agencies within the five regions. We continue with the Naturena, and we are busy with the process of renaming Naturena. And that process is in the planning phase and is progressing very well. And the Eastern Cape, we still have the Zukuhle Youth Development Project. And in the Western Cape, we still have Beautiful Ashes in the LMN, the Shilembeni. Also, World Focus Victim House. We have One Foundation House. We've got Youth Community Development. And also in Bloomsbury in the Free State Northern Cape. Chairperson, we have a relationship and with the Department of Environmental Affairs. As I've indicated, that they are providing support to the parolees and professionals for cleaning of parks, graveyards, planting of trees, renovation of schools, town halls, and rehabilitating the desk as well as the broken windows. We use these services, Chairperson, especially when the schools were now in January, when the schools were opening. You find that in the different schools, the grass is so long because the schools were closed. The grass is so long, and there was vandalism in the classrooms, and we utilized our parolees and professionals as well as our offenders to ensure that we rehabilitate those schools so that when the children or the learners are going back to school, they can find their schools in order. The Department of Public Works also is assisting, is entering with other NPOs so that they can train our and skill our parolees for job opportunities. Social development, they provide us with the social relief and distress for parolees and probationers. Chairperson, what we have, when we meet with the parolees as well as the ex-offenders, in most cases you find that when they initially are released and into their caregivers or families, families will be very happy and to accept and receive their loved one. But as the time goes on, you find that the relations get strained because now they will say, when you are sitting here, you are just eating bread and you are not contributing, you are not doing anything, and yet, Tina, we must feed you. You know, you better go and find work, and it's always difficult and challenging for them to get work. So we have approached SASA to ensure that we formalize the partnership for the social relief. SASA has agreed that that service can be provided as soon as our social workers and their social workers refer the parolee or the probationer to them, they will be able to put them in the social relief and distress program. We have also the NPOs and chairperson as well as the FBOs that are providing our parolees with the working tools so that they can start their business. We have seen a number of them that are doing the car washes. That industry is really growing for our parolees. As I've indicated, chairperson Kishungu Group, who is an agent of Working on Fire, is working very well in the province of the Western Cape, the LMN, and the Gauteng, where they train parolees in firefighting and employ them. And Working for Water also, chairperson, is training our parolees and probationers on environmental conservation. The Innovation, chairperson, we continue enjoying this relationship. Started in 2015, where they will take a number of about 10 parolees to train them on ICT. And what is encouraging there, they will get the stipend, and the learners after that they will be placed in the jobs. And that is one relationship and partnership that we are enjoying. Mukava Development Agency also is continuing training our parolees on plumbing, building and carpentry, and also employ them. And in some instances, they also seek and refer them for employment in other areas. Women of Value as well is training our female parolees on computer literacy, and they also provide them with stipend. New Life Upper Prison also is one of the NPOs that provides startup hacks to our parolees. Nomasam Njabulo Training Center is assisted by the Department of Training and Hiring Parolees on the N6 engineering. And we also having a lot of offenders that we are referring to them. The City of Joburg also employed about 10 parolees on the active construction project, and this is also assisting our parolees within the Joburg area. Sekwanele is an ex-convict reintegration association of South Africa. They more active in the KZN area. Chairperson, they assisting in offering offenders job opportunities and place them on jobs. They're working within our correctional facilities in KZN, and also they are also assisting in the different districts in the KZN area where they look for jobs for these offenders, because it's led by ex-offenders. Kulisa is also assisting in the restorative justice programs, and they facilitate the VODs. For COGE, Former Convicted Offenders Development Initiative, they're also assisting us with the reintegration, and they also serve as a safety net for our ex-offenders. as soon as the ex-offenders, they feel that there is a lack of support and they are tempted to go back to crime, they always welcome them to come and provide that particular support so that they can be able to assist them not to go back to crime. For VOC, Chaperson is assisting us in tracing victims so that they can be able to participate in the VOD as well as they can participate in the for representation in the parole board. But yes, we are aware that they are challenged with the budget. We have assisted them in terms of application to CARA because they are also members of the VEP forum, but they continue having challenges of funding. In terms of the support structure, Chaperson, we've entered into a partnership with Bapong Bamohale Tribal Authority, who provided us with 5 hectares of land for farming, and ex-offenders, parolees and probationers, they've already started to cultivate in that land, and we're hoping that the produce that they are going to get there, they're going to be able to sell them and put bread on the table. Chaperson, in terms of the service points, Chaperson, we are benefiting a lot in terms of the establishment of these service points. These service points, Chaperson, are points that are within our communities, your police stations, your clinics, your churches, your traditional leaders, your Department of Home Affairs, that are within our communities, especially in the rural areas. Since 2014, we have managed to establish 528 Chaperson. Chaperson, we see the benefits of this when we go out and have those quarterly sessions, and we see the number of violations, they are really decreasing because these offenders, they are aware that there are people within the communities that are prepared to assist them. And also when they are supposed to, one of their conditions is to report to a community corrections office, which is far, sometimes they do not have money to catch a taxi to go to the office, they are able to go to this service point and register and sign there and do exactly what they were supposed to do in the office. So these service points are assisting Chaperson. Chaperson, in terms of the community profiling, this is also very critical. These universities that we have entered into agreement with, they will provide us or place students so that the students can be able to develop these community profiles. These community profiles enables us when we are drawing the reintegration plan, and also we provide this to the parole board and the CMC so that when they set conditions, they can be able to see that what type of a community is this person going to be released to. We have also spoken to skills development so that skills development can use these community profiles to ensure that when they develop programs, they can develop programs that are going to be aligned with the resources that are available in these communities, which is something that is very much assisting us, Chaperson. Chaperson, in terms of the outreach, as you recall that in 2015 we held an ex-offender conference. And in 2016, Chaperson, we went around in Eastern Cape, Gauteng, Western Cape, and Free State, Northern Cape, where we were workshopping all ex-offenders, as well as their formations, the co-ops that they have, and to ensure that we set up offender desks. And those offender desks, some of them are within the multi-purpose centers in their own communities, and some of them are sitting in our own community corrections offices. Those offender desks is to provide also support to the ex-offenders as well as to the probationers and parolees. What we see also the benefit of this is that the ex-offenders are coming out and saying that we have changed our lives, and we want, especially the youth, we want to target the youth so that we can tell them that crime does not pay. They are able, they led by the head of community corrections, to go and approach schools so that they can go and do the presentations to the schools and talk and have some talks and consultative discussions with young people. we are intending also, Chairperson, this year as well, to continue this process of going around and talking to the ex-offenders to ensure that we break the cycle of crime. And also, Chairperson, we have we've hosted a female ex-offender interpreneur development session in partnership with Still Rise, where we saw 40 female ex-offenders receive information on businesses and how to start their own business. And most of them, Chairperson, I must say that they were so grateful to receive this, and they went out to start their own businesses and co-ops. In terms of restorative justice, Chairperson, the list of service providers, NPOs, that were presented by my colleague, are people that we are also working with outside within our communities, particularly your traditional leaders, as well as your faith-based organizations, as well as social development, to ensure that we speak to the victims of crime and we prepare them for the victim-offender dialogue. I also need to mention that, Chairperson, we have appointed the social auxiliary workers within our community corrections, and these social auxiliary workers are also strengthening our victim-offender dialogue programs, because their main focus is to visit the homes of the victims, identified and prepare them so that they cannot be surprised when they see that the person is released or they are invited by the parole board. My next slide, in partnerships, Chairperson, as I've already indicated that my colleague has already mentioned all the churches that we have here. They are working both inside and outside. As well as we had, you recall, Chairperson, that Kulumani is also has been working with the Worcester bombing people, victims, as well as that offender. The UKZN College of Humanities is training our personnel to be facilitators of the VODs. We also have the Prison Care and Support Network that is assisting us, Chairperson. Chairperson, after you know all this work is the good work is done, the challenge still continue, especially for our ex-offenders, the criminal record expungement, and stigmatization and by their own communities, and that is why we are saying that we'll continue going out to the communities and talk to them to understand the importance of their participation in the reintegration of our parolees. But we can highlight that the criminal record expungement is a challenge for our parolees and probationers. Thank you, Chairperson.
A lot of work is being done. The only question is how do we make it visible to everybody and make sure that the impact also is visible. But it is quite clear that you know what you are doing, you have a clear plan which really needs to be embraced by all of us and be supported by all of us. Honorable members, let's take questions, contributions, recommendations, and move forward. Honorable Self, Honorable Mutapo, Honorable Bongo, Honorable Maiza, Honorable Ron. Proceed, Honorable Ron.
Yes, thank you very much, Chairperson, and thank you for the presentation. I thought it was very helpful. I'd like to start by just emphasizing this question of criminal record expungement. I mean, it's one thing to have helped to draw up a CV, but once you put on a CV that you've got a criminal record, there are very, very few people who are actually going to employ you. And there are several jurisdictions around the world that deal with second chance legislation, which means that once you have once you've offended, provided you have fulfilled all the requirements of your sentence, including your rehabilitative and reintegrative programs, that that criminal record can be provisionally expunged. And I wondered whether this committee that straddles both correctional services and justice has the appetite to consider legislation of that nature. Secondly, I have asked for some time, because the real test of any system of corrections is going to be the reoffending rate. And, you know, a lot of good work is done here, a lot of people are prepared for reintegration into society, but what we need at the same time is to know how many people reoffend, because that's going to be the test of how successful the programs are, both inside and outside the correctional system. And thirdly, just as a way of clarity, did I understand that we are now contemplating giving social grants to parolees and probationers? Because I have a problem in giving somebody a grant because they can't find work because they've been in prison. I think a much better way of doing that, if I'm correct, is to say, let's look at some form of EPWP program that can employ ex-offenders in socially useful enterprises or work that needs to be done, and give them an amount of money for doing that work, because then I think you both support the offender and provide a socially useful service. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I think as I was doing the notes here, Honorable Self was taking my notes in turn.
I was worried about that because I saw him peeping that side.
But be that as it may, Chair, I think, let me start with the social grant one. I think really it may be a government multiplying its efforts by zero to spend the whole money on trying to rehabilitate an offender. The next thing, to still give a social grant. I think what may be important, because this is a commissioner, is a good presentation. Very good presentation. It's a presentation that just needs a new public service cadre to be able to take it forward, because it's good here on paper and everything, but the extent to which we see some of these things and the extent to which the community out there sees this thing is something different. So we may have to develop a new public service cadre that will be able to take this thing. Because if these things that are here are implemented to the latter, I think half of our problems will generally be solved. So part of what you were said in the presentation is that there are some gardens that are there. Land was given to plow and produce some food. And when we do oversight visit, what we have seen is that there are people cooking there and so on. I think we may have to develop a dashboard on how do we utilize these ones that have now attended their full course of service to come back and do some of this work. And secondly, to check those work that are outsourced. How do we use the outsourced work and interest put some of them to do some of the work there? But also to check these NPOs. How do we make sure that some of these NPOs are those that are owned by themselves, than to say government must come back and give them grant because their families are complaining? So I think it's what we may look at and have some dashboard exercise in terms of how do you want to approach that matter? I think again, Chair, part of the things that we must do when we get out of this fifth parliament successful is what the Honourable Self has raised. One, we need a dashboard exercise in terms of how many of these offenders re-offend after they have taken a full course, because that is going to assist us in terms of taking a particular decision. But one of the things that hampers and stop and affects this matter of them having to be employable is that when you apply to government, they ask do you have a criminal record? So one of the progressive things that we may need as fifth parliament to take is that how do we have a progressive way of expunging this criminal record from the system, particularly those who have finished the whole course. If it was 6 months, you did your whole 6 months, you attended all the courses, you have some certificate that makes you to be now employable, and all the records are saying you are clear, why can't we just put this record somewhere, not in the manner that it will say this person has, or is something like, or creating a new register, which will not necessarily be this one that when you apply for a job, it's you say, I have a criminal record. I think the officials may need to also assist us in terms of what system can we create so that we don't multiply our own efforts by zero. We train a mechanic with our own money. Afterwards, when you apply for a job, you say a criminal record, you are not employable. You go home, they say you are not bringing bread. Then the next thing, it encourages you to re-offend. So that is the crisis that we are sitting with. So we need to take very strict decisions. And I think we need to prioritize this, Honorable Chair and Commission. Prioritize it, because it's at the center of making sure that the re-offending is continuing, and it's at the center of making sure that it just blocks anyone who had offended. And it contributes also to this issue that we're discussing earlier of overcrowding, because if we do a right research, we may find that those at overcrowding are people who are re-offending because there's nothing they can do at home. So it's a contributory effect. So we've got to create some dashboard on how do you want to progressively deal with this matter, even before the end of this fifth parliament, because that is going to alleviate a lot of the problems that we're also raising, Chair. And also agreeing with Honourable Self, we're in charge of this Criminal Procedure Act because we are overseeing the Department of Justice. This HIAB and whatnot of the Act, we may need to strictly see how to integrate them to be, because we may find that A and B is almost one thing, but in terms of the purposes of sentencing, it's two things and it creates more problems for us. How do we make this law? How do we make this law condense it such that it does not create problems for the department, particularly on the issue of overcrowding, which is now a concern to almost everyone in the country. I think I can stop the HF for now. Thank you.
Shows that this committee is really moving in one direction and it will deliver. Honorable Mutu.
Okay, thank you, Chairperson, and thank you, National Commissioner, for the presentation. On slide 33, Skills Development Program, I've seen most of the regions are appearing there, but to my surprise, LMN, Limpopo, Mpumalanga, Northwest, is not, there will be clarified on the issue. And again, as much as we appreciate the usage of these three official languages for marketing correctional programs, it would be appreciated if all, especially the previously marginalized languages, were being used. It's on slide 20. So may you also comment on that. Last year, Chairperson, during our last engagement, a resolution was taken with the department that naming of Naturena halfway house should be done in honor of the late ANC Councillor Mthembu. So may the department share with us the progress made so far in that regard. You are aware, Chairperson, that she was very much passionate about community corrections, and therefore it will be better and in the best interest of everyone that we take that into consideration. And I'll also like to commend and compliment the department for breaking the records, Guinness Book of Records, for having sewn the largest or biggest blanket ever at Drakenstein State in Western Cape. That is very good indeed, plowing back into our communities by the offenders. And again, issue of partnerships in slide 49. You make mention of all those religions and faiths and the African traditional religion, which is part of the spiritual care program. So also a national commissioner, may you also elaborate on that. What does it entail? Because I've seen most of the program, Christianity is the major faith, which religion, which is being considered. So if you can just unpack this African traditional religion, what does it entail? But generally, as the chairperson has alluded to, you this is really very much commendable. But unfortunately, like we mentioned last year, the outside community doesn't know what this department is really doing. You are doing a very, very good work, but unfortunately, it's not known there outside. Most people just know the DCS, Correctional Services, for being a department which incarcerate people. But these all good things, like the choir. I normally on TV watch, you'll see the choir of a specific center singing so well. And the rehabilitation programs which you had, like the one which transformed Unati, the one who's singing Nomvula Wam. So, you know, such things should be known. I don't know your marketing, your communication people. What are they doing? Thank you, Chairperson.
Oh, thanks very much, Chair. And let me thank the Commissioner and the team for a very good presentation presented. A presentation also shows that work is being done. This presentation, Chair, actually emphasizes the fact that the issue of corrections is a societal issue. It's not the issue of correctional services alone. So the issue of partnerships can't be emphasized more. However, I just want to get clarity on one or two issues. For an example, suppose there is an offender who is undergoing a particular training, and the sentence of that offender is completed before the training is completed. Are there any means to ensure that when the offender leaves the facility, means can be made that the offender is able to complete the training. The other issue I want to check is on the capacity of training centers. If we offer training on motor mechanics, say in Kimberley, are we able to utilize that center to its full capacity? And if, for an example, there is one offender in one facility where training on motor mechanics is not offered, but that offender would like to do motor mechanic, is it possible for an offender? I know it might have budget constraints, but is it possible for an offender to be transferred to that facility where the desired training is offered? The department is in partnership with the Department of Basic Education. Now, if you check, especially in areas like Limpopo, where I come from, during the time when communities were building their own schools, several communities would club and build a school at an area which is central to all those communities, but that school will then be almost in the bush. And now those schools are no longer in favor. Communities are now establishing their own schools. Now those schools are left lying without being utilized. There are many of such schools, but the infrastructure is there. And these are areas which can be used maybe as halfway houses, maybe as training centers for agricultural purposes, because it is not just a school. It is a school which is surrounded by land. So I'm trying to check whether we can be able to utilize such facilities for the benefit of government in general and the community at large. The issue of non-profit organizations is well received. However, observation is that these NPOs are mostly located in urban areas. And of course, this is not the problem of the department per se, but as we are emphasizing partnerships, I think this is one area that we need to look at, so that we could be able to establish various NPOs throughout the country, especially targeting rural areas. However, Chair, I also think that this thing of repeat offending is quite a challenge. And of course, the issue of a criminal record which is not as expunged also needs attention. But lastly, Chair, let me say the presentation is quite welcomed. Thanks very much.
Prevention is better than cure. All the good work that you are reporting on is the good work aimed at curing. And of course, it's not your responsibility to prevent. I think you are let down by those who have the responsibility to prevent not doing their work. Maybe it's good that we are saying this work that we are doing is a societal issue, not a departmental issue, which means that when we look at the work that you do on education, it's very good. But that work on education should not be done because we have a problem of offenders. It should be done because we want to develop society in such a way that it is a society that shuns criminality and wrongdoing. And therefore, programs like, you know, your spiritual care, it should not be about preparing people to go to heaven. We really have to develop the character of the young people. You know, the Chinese have more than a billion people, but I don't think they have a billion policemen and a billion correctional centers. How do they manage to have such a big population which is developed, which is productive, and we can do better with 50 million? So I think that we need to say the educational programs that you have in the prisons should be there in societies, in communities themselves. Because some people who come to provide these programs, they may be providing them because they want money from the department, which already does not have money. But they must demonstrate inside the communities that they are offering these character building programs, life orientation, but also, more important, is civic education. Because if our youth don't understand that we are a people, we want to build a nation, that they are the nation builders, they are the people that must serve this nation, we won't be going anywhere. So character building, life orientation, civic education should be important. But also in those cases, we can say your department should do these things. It should be different departments coming together, everybody saying we can offer the following. I was impressed with, I attended a NICSAM workshop. There is a chaplain from your department who came, I forget his name, who told us about the Read to Redeem campaign. Read to Redeem campaign that your department is doing. And then there was somebody from the Department of Basic Education who spoke about the Read to Lead campaign. So you can see the synergy. Outside, they provide Read to Lead campaign. Inside, you provide Read to Redeem campaign. So the two are complementary. But then there was the AFBOB Foundation. AFBOB Foundation built these container libraries so that these campaigns then can have libraries. So this whole work is developmental and is very important. Now you have the CETAs. There is a group that I referred to, Garawo Young Youth Development Consortium. They bring together the CETAs, Department of Labor, the Second Chance Project of the Basic Education, and then they bring 500 youth together, unemployed youth, ex-offenders, and say to them, here we are. Here is a pool of opportunities. Here are the forms. Indicate what you need, what you want done. So I'm trying to say that if we work together, not as individuals scattered all over, we can actually go very far. You know, if I look at the number of NGOs and churches that you have, just to coordinate those people, it can be your job. If it's your job, it means you'll have to neglect something in order to cater for them. But if you have an umbrella organization like NICSAM, you say all faith-based organizations, go to your umbrella organization, because you also have to avoid duplications. And when these people come to correctional services, you need personnel to attend to them. Let them go and sort out their things there in their own forum, and the umbrella organization enters into a partnership with yourselves. That will save your time. But also this matter which was raised about the social grants. I think I agree with the Honorable Self and Honorable Bongo. It would actually be, if it's true, it would be going too far. Because the reason we say you must give them skills in the correctional center is because they must go out and work for themselves. They have a culture of self-help. So I think we need to investigate that matter. And then if it's true, we need to deal with it. Because already there's a similar concern that the youth that are given social grants, the parents are saying, a child falls pregnant, she gets a child a grant, and then she doesn't want to work, then she makes another child to get another grant. So baby making becomes a form of employment. And now are we building or corrupting society? So the issue of social grants needs to be addressed. We can continue doing things that way. And therefore, I think the question of farms, why don't we talk about correctional farms? Government has land that they don't know what to do with. Government has buildings that they cannot even account for. And then if working with the public works, those lands and facilities can be identified. When people leave correctional centers and they are artisans, they are welders, they are plumbing, we go and give them a building, they work from there, we say government departments, municipalities that need services, they must go to those artisans in their artisans' place. And then those who did farming, we give them a farm, they produce food, and then we say social development, have orphanages, they have old age homes, DBE, they need food, nutrition at school, and say this former offenders, they must supply government departments. Then that's employment. That's the way we can create employment. And then we can't simply say we're going to teach them good morals. They violated the morals because they want to survive on this earth. They don't want to go to heaven. So we are not going to help them by promising them a place in heaven. We must create opportunities for this. And I think in government alone, there are lots of opportunities. I think we must work on that. You know, if you take motor mechanics, if you train people in motor mechanics, all these motor dealers, they want services. You get Mercita, you get the motor dealers, we organize a deal with them. But some of the things I think as politicians, we should actually assist to facilitate those relationships, because we don't want to make you social workers in addition to what you are doing. Another area, honorable members and DG, several government departments have chaplains, but these chaplains who work in government is not coordinated. I know that the Department of Defense worked with some churches. They have problems with the traditional people. But maybe we need a meeting with all the chaplains in government. All of them must tell us what are they doing and what are the communalities, what are the duplications. We really have the chaplaincy in government together with the faith-based organizations, so that they also work together and develop a program that can guide the spiritual care and work in government. The last but one thing that I want to say is that I was very much impressed in Gauteng. I attended a meeting convened by MEC Mayatula, Nandi Mayatula, the MEC for Social Development. She has worked with FBOs from the ward level. The wards come together into a local level, and the local level come together into the region. So all five regions in Gauteng have FBO forums. Then they have a provincial forum led by Bishop Sfungu. And on the 23rd, they will be launching a NICSA chapter in Gauteng. Now, just imagine, if throughout the country we have faith-based organizations working together at the ward level, at the local level, at the regional level, at the provincial level, there would be automatic coordination and collaborations throughout the country. So the difficulties that Honorable Patlele Thapo is referring to, that you are doing good work, but the good work is not visible, would disappear. So I want to suggest that you attend that launch, because Honorable MEC Mayatula, she's social development, already is your sister department. And I know that RTIA from Minister Dipuo, they will be there. They will be inviting other departments. Just to begin to work together with other departments, and then take your good work, and then you can prepare a presentation of what you are doing. Other departments know what you are doing, and they can see how they can partner with you. Lastly, I was impressed in Soweto. I went to Soweto. I met with AFBOP. AFBOP, they have the AFBOP Foundation. They bought a building in Soweto, and they want to work with the FBOs in Soweto. And then what is interesting, I went to the office of the municipality in Soweto. They have 38 wards. And then they went to each and every ward to make an audit of all the NGOs, the churches, and everybody. And they have a special person who is responsible. So they know who is who throughout Soweto. So, which means even the flow of information is easy. If you want partnership, if you want cooperation, they do that. Now, if all the regions of Johannesburg have such a community-based system, and then we decide that we work with them, my proposal therefore would be that we need community one-stop development centers, community one-stop development centers, because at that one-stop, that's where all the initiatives must be coordinated and see who can match with who collaborate with who. Because we can't get our government departments to become social workers, to become community development workers, to become everything. We want you to do what you have done. Develop a clear program. You know what you want to do, the objectives, you know what you want to achieve. But we as public representatives, working with the councillors on the ground, with the MPs, we must assist you by helping with the mobilization and organization on the ground. And I think we can make it. I'm really very encouraged today because I'm able to see how these things can dovetail, they can fall into one organization, we move forward. So I hope, honorable members, we can agree that actually most of us as in our PCOs, we don't actually even have direction. And if we can look at the money that goes to the PCOs and the output that comes from there, we can agree that we are wasting taxpayers' money. So I think that correctional services have given us an area where we can work with them, improve our own delivery in terms of the PCOs. I took your time to respond because I'm excited with the work that we have done. Do you want to address the members and then we close the meeting?
The department is saying the bachelors have increased from 14 to 40. So I would like to know how many have registered for grade 12.
Thank you, Chairperson. And
about the schools that are neglected, there's an example of Vapo Vamuhale. Maybe if that is in your constituency, let's get more information and see if we can do a pilot project modeled after Vapo Vamuhale in your constituency.
Yes, to add on that, the Department of Basic Education is also merging schools as we are speaking. So some schools are going to be left without anything.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. We have taken copious notes of your comments, and we're not going to really try to comment on each one of them because they need quite a lot of work that we need to provide information on. Chairperson, safe to say that we would like to conclude on the following point. The ex-offender outreach, maybe just one sentence, it's an initiative that started with Deputy Minister Makweta, and it has grown in leaps and bounds, where we are able to reach our ex-offenders almost in each and every region. They have real challenges with regard to employment, with regard to security shelters, with regard to material assistance, with regard to expungement of criminal records. We have listed all of those challenges that they face and are working on them with the Department of Justice. The criminal records chairperson from correctional services, because these people have been with us for some time and we are the ones that have rehabilitated them. A number of our current officials do have criminal records. Some of them have been admitted at some stage, but did not serve time, as is the case, to us, alternative sentencing. And we are encouraging other departments to do the same. Currently, we are looking at our own policy of how can we utilize ex-offenders to provide particular programs of awareness raising, but also to assist us in the strategy to deal with gangs. Because these gangs, chairperson, they have got their own culture, and that culture, much as we would like to say we understand it, but there are areas of it that we don't understand. So we want to utilize these ex-offenders for that purpose. Secondly, chairperson, what I would like to say is, indeed, we are very much involved in the school opening campaigns. Almost each and every correctional center, 2 weeks before schools reopen, devote time and resources, mostly to just go and clean the school first, the surrounding, also refurbish those broken cells, take school desks to our workshops for them to be also refurbish and maintain ablution facilities where pipes are leaking, toilets are not working properly. Offenders are very much involved in that. And it has been a ministerial project that we have taken to regions. This year, we were in Buwani with Minister Masuta, where we went to see what contribution we can make to those schools that have been burned down in terms of cleaning, in terms of maintaining the buildings and so forth. And indeed, Chairperson, South Africa is a country that has its own inequalities. Your rural communities where they are staying does not compare with your urban facilities. And therefore, we are of the view that the department can play a big role in ensuring that services that are provided there are maintained, or facilities that are provided are maintained, especially in our rural communities. Because some of them don't even have a fence, some of them, Chairperson, don't have toilets that are running. It's your pit toilet, and we would like to make a difference there through the offender labor. Chairperson, the re-offending topic, the department is not ready now to provide the committee with answers in that regard. Safe to say that there is significant work that has been done. We have not gone to all of our facilities, and we have prioritized particular ones. And we're not happy with that approach. We would say maybe extend the research and bring in more cases so that we are able to say for certainty. According to this study, the rate of recidivism is at this point in the Republic of South Africa. Currently, there have been other organizations like your security studies that have said with their own research, reoffending is at almost 80%. And as a department, together with justice, we are not in agreement. And maybe, Chairperson, it might sound as if we're trying to be defensive, but the fact of the matter is we don't agree that we can then clump all sentence categories into one and say, but this person is coming for the fourth and the fifth time in our facilities. We're trying to make a differentiation between crime categories and terms served in our facilities. So, Chairperson, indeed, by the end of this financial year, we should come to the committee to say, but this is what has been achieved so far in terms of reoffending. Criminal records, as I've said, Chairperson, it's also a topic on its own. Work is at a very advanced stage, but the expungement thereof is something that has to be signed off by the President of the Republic. But a recommendation has to be made by a portfolio committee. And we believe that this committee is situated correctly where it is now with regard to corrections and justice and constitutional development. And therefore, the committee can, from us, receive inputs so that the committee can then make a recommendation. That a person cannot be 10 years without any offending and the record still stands. Because indeed, prospective employers are looking at criminal records and they are reluctant to employ. Chairperson, the LMN region, and one would like to be specific to say in Limpopo, in Mpumalanga, in Northwest, the accreditation process by MERCITA has not progressed as we had wanted it to be. So we're going to prioritize that so that the workshops and the agricultural fields that we are having there, the programs are accredited so that they can also then receive accredited certificates by the time they leave our correctional facilities. What I would like to maybe conclude on before I give it to my colleagues here is that, yes, Chairperson, where there is a particular course offered at a particular center. Let's say, for instance, motor mechanics, as the honorable member has made an example. We have motor mechanics in Kimberley, we have motor mechanics in Koshimampuru. If there is an offender that is maybe in another part of the country who has started this course, that offender gets transferred to where the course is being provided. That's why you see that, Chairperson, a number of offenders from the Western Cape and Eastern Cape have been sent to Kimberley precisely for that course, and also from other regions to Koshimampuru. We are trying to develop centers of expertise where we have particular services that can be offered to offenders. For instance, like your psychological services, because not all correctional facilities have got psychologists, and that is what we want to do. One would like to say, Chairperson, we really appreciate the comments, and want to say that correctional services, Chairperson, we are a department in transformation. We are a department that needs to turn the corner, and we are in the right direction. What we would really like to do is maybe get some momentum so that whatever we do is also portrayed in our own identity. We don't communicate so well. That's why we have brought our communications person here, so that he also can develop our integrated communication strategy. That would make sure that from time to time, in the print and the audio-visual media, there is something that talks about correctional services. This is the work that we do. These are our achievements. And we believe that if it is a correctional services-directed program, then the South African community will know better, instead of us being on the media by chance and by the wrongdoings, things that are not assisting us in any way. Well, Chairperson, maybe I should, for the issues that maybe I may not have responded to, ask CDC Smallberger to raise. The social grant, Chairperson, indeed, it cannot be right that we give social grants. Our country is having serious social and economic challenges, and we can't be adding on to that as well as a department. But what we'd like to see is where there is work that needs to be done, like, for instance, the EPW work from Department of Public Works, then we can always recommend that our offenders should also be considered. Not that they should now be first in the line, but can also be considered for possible employment, even if it is only for a time being. But that would be correct, because we need to create a balance between services that we provide to those that have offended society, but also services that we provide to our law-abiding citizens. It can't be the same, and it can't be upside down. Law-abiding citizens must always be upfront, and those that have offended society should come second. Chairperson, I think from my point of I would like to end there and ask CDC Smallberger to maybe attend to the other questions that I may not have responded to.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I think firstly, let me respond to the question of the grade 12 pass rate. Chairperson, on slide 30, we indicated that in 2014, we had 90 candidates and 62 passed. In 2015, it went up. We had 111 who were sitting down and 81 passed. The last financial year, Chairperson, 140 were sitting down for exams and 101 of them passed. Chair, what is also important from the 101 who passed this year, 40 of them have matriculation examination with admission to register for a bachelor's qualification. So I think that perspective is important, Chair. Chairperson, in terms of, I don't know whether I understand the question of the African tradition correctly. I think it's slide 67. Chairperson, in terms of the African tradition religion, they are rendering the service to inmates who are from that specific religion. Maybe, Chairperson, to say that all denominations or churches or groupings who have inmates within our facilities, Chairperson, whether it's one or more, we allow them access to see those offenders and to provide services and programs to members of that specific denomination. Chairperson, I think the other that I had was covered by the National Commissioner. Chairperson, maybe just to ask Ms. Sillo to explain to the committee the process of quality assurance processes, because I think it's also important, because you might also receive letters from members from the community and then you are not aware. Ms. Sillo, please.
Good morning. The Quality Assurance Committee, as it's been explained, we have the National Quality Assurance Committee, the Regional Quality Assurance Committees, and the Area Management Quality Assurance Committees. The Quality Assurance Committees are for those services and programs that the service providers intends to offer for free. We do not pay for those services or programs. The intention of the Quality Assurance Committee is to ensure that the programs and services are formalized and standardized. Also gives us an opportunity to screen and determine the appropriateness and relevance of the programs or services. We have, as a national committee, developed a quality assurance manual that guides us on the processes that needs to be followed and what needs to be done. Maybe just briefly, the quality assurance starts with the individual service provider making an application, and we offer them the application forms where they indicate who they are and what type of program or service they want to offer. If an application requests that they do offer programs or services in more than four regions, three or four or more regions in the country, then the Quality Assurance Committee at the national level quality assure the program. And if it's only in a specific region, then they are quality assured by the Regional Quality Assurance Committee, and also if we, but also the Regional Quality Assurance Committees quality assure those services that will be rendered in three or more management areas within the region. And otherwise, if the service provider wants to focus on a specific management area, then the Area Management Quality Assurance Committee and that management area will follow the process. We do have instances where some departments, such as Department of Education, would quality assure their programs, but they offer their services. Their services extends to correctional services, and so other departments, such as Department of Sports, when those programs are already quality assured in those specific departments, we do not quality assure them again. What we do is all the programs and services that are quality assured, either by their specific departments or within our department, with the service provider still has to sign an operational agreement with the specific management area. Now, there are two processes we follow. Quality assuring is to ensure that the program that is being offered would be appropriate for our department. The operational agreement with the management area basically is about the service provider indicating how often they will be coming to the center, what offenders are they looking for? Are they looking for to do the program to the females or males or youth, and how many at a specific period of time, and also how long it takes for a program or service to take place within that time they specify. It is necessary to do the operational agreement with the management areas because they are the ones that understand the uniqueness of their management area. Because in some instances, they may not have enough space for programs to be run, and the space is shared amongst the education, social workers, and so on and so forth. So it's necessary to get to know when that is going to be done and for how many offenders, but also for the purpose of security, they must know how many of the service providers will be coming through at specific times in a month or so. There are other processes that we follow that we assign a specific person to monitor and evaluate the processes that have been followed or of the programs and services, and they are also expected to give a report after the program or service has ended. I think briefly that's what the Quality Assurance Committees do, unless there's a specific question that I must respond to.
I think we are happy. We are happy. Commissioner, I think we should adjourn the meeting and just request that your office works with the committee to identify all the things that came out of here that needs to be taken forward, and all the meetings and workshops that we need. But there was an initiative by Ntate Zanele, Zakele and Matavata. Was that proposal turned down, and by whom?
I think we can talk about the chairperson outside the meeting, but we made an application to the chair of chairs, and at that time it was turned down. Perhaps if we make another application now, it could be approved.
No, because that initiative would have helped us maybe even to foresee the problems that have subsequently appeared in the correctional centers. So I think you must revive that application. You have heard for yourself, motivate, and then I'll talk to the chair of chairs, because that's the type of work that we want to do, to be able to anticipate things. Yeah, just revive it and resubmit it. And send a copy to the national committee.
So, Chair, there was just one concern or question that was put with regard to Naturena. The process is underway. From the department side, we have finalized. It's now at the ministry for minister's concurrence. We have done everything. I think within a very short space of time, that feedback will come, and then we'll go ahead with that. The other point on halfway houses was with regard to NPOs. And Chairperson had raised the issue of NICO, for instance, as an established NGO that has been working with us for a long time. What had happened when the advert went out, NICO then decided not to bid for the halfway houses because they felt that the amount that we were indicating is very little and inadequate. Now, what we're doing with the halfway houses, Chairperson, is we provide some sort of a stipend just for the day-to-day running. We don't give out money for the organization to make a profit. So it's something that is very little, and it's actually a responsibility that we have taken on our shoulders, which actually belongs to social development. But also the fact that an NPO that has a halfway house should already come with its own funding. So we're looking at that, looking at the policy as we have indicated, so that we are then able to account correctly in terms of the legislation that is there that talks to how financial management should be happening. Chairperson, also the point that you raised yourself about reading for redemption and reading for leadership. A project also that was started by former Minister Ndebele, a project that is running extremely well together with the Department of Arts and Culture. Deputy Minister Mabuda Fassi is one person that is leading this Fundam Zanzi in our facilities, where our offenders and scholars from nearby areas compete in reading and interpreting what is in print. It's a campaign that unfortunately the department could not roll out as it had intended because of budgetary concerns. So Chairperson, that is exactly what is happening, but at area level, a campaign that is going on very well. That also brings scholars together with offenders, and thereby taking also the awareness campaign even further to make them aware that crime indeed does not pay. Chairperson, I think we can safely end there, other than just to say that we are in transformation. We want to change corrections in the country. It's a very long, tedious process where we have to change the mindset of our own people, the mindset of offenders, the mindset of community, that indeed we can't just imprison without making a meaningful contribution to change this person's life. That when he comes out, he's a law-abiding citizen. But at the end, also, this person that we have invested so much for 20 to 30 years whilst he was in correctional centers, then how do we salvage this person and how do we get benefit from all of that? Surely we should be looking at providing some kind of work to this person that has served his 20 years, served his 30 years, served his life in a correctional setting. So that transformation, Chairperson, needs to happen with correctional officials, with offenders themselves, and our own members of the public, because everyone has a role to play. And we cannot overemphasize the role of the committee as well, as directing and guiding us, that we don't lose sight of the objective of changing and rehabilitating those that have committed serious crimes. Really want that last two.
Commissioner, if this is possible, because you see that Fundam Zanzi Read to Redeem is an important campaign, but the department can't roll out. They say they don't have money, but there's a private sector. Maybe it's not your business to approach the private sector. That's why I was talking about a broad tech partnership, because we are saying AFBOB is providing libraries. Other people can provide funds, so that we don't make this thing just a departmental or a government thing. Then we have a community, private, public partnerships to to take forward the campaign, we can assist with that development. But also with Halfway House, I'm just wondering whether you would not agree that we take the Naturena one, because we are honoring this council and temple. We make it a community halfway house, other than a halfway house that must be given to Mikro or somebody. Then they end up, they don't say, saying that they don't have money. So if you are prepared to consider that, I could talk to the province, I'll talk to the municipality, I'll talk to the private sector to say we want a model halfway house, which is a community-private partnership, and maybe we can develop a flagship that can be replicated somewhere. Because money is there, it's just that everybody looks into their pockets. But if we look at the pocket of society and other role players, we can get this thing going. So can I propose that, because NICRO, they don't have money, we can make this a community thing and it will have money. And then after the minister, I guess the minister was requested to announce it when he addresses parliament. Then he can also announce that, you know, partnership, as a model partnership. So maybe Mr. Smallbird. I must thank you very much. This was the most fruitful meeting, and this means that we're going to have a good and productive year. And thank you very much.
Presentations, or would it be fine?
Yeah.
Sorry.